And a good afternoon, everybody. We've got a full show for you today. And, you know, we're wrapping up the summer. It's coming up on Labor Day weekend. And then before you know it, we'll be wall-to-wall football. And we also have some Kings news today. First and foremost, it's great to have Doug Christie, who is in studio today. What's up, Mr. Christie?
Napes. I am so excited to be here, my friend.
So here's how we start the show today. We've got five mics in this room. And so Doug walks in and he sits to my right, which is, you know, it doesn't really matter to you. And I ask my producer, Jay, I go, what mic is he on? And he goes, that's mic five. And Doug goes, oh, that's Robert Horry. I'm not doing it there. So now he has moved over to mic number two. And he goes, okay, Mitch Richmond, that's okay. So he was not going to start doing the show with me on mic number five. That just was not a possibility.
Not even close. Now, The Rock, I can do The Rock. But Robert Horry, not even a chance. Right? Not even a chance.
So anyway, just so you know, I'm on mic one and Doug is on mic two. Mics three, four, and five are currently vacant. Mike number, I said to Doug, I go, hey, you know, looking at it that way, if we have to, we'll just do the 4-hour show standing up.
That's it. If we got to stand up, yeah, people, we are going to bring it to you however you need it.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Ty Lawson. And I want to, first of all, talk about, you know, what we know and what we don't know. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he's even available right now speaks volumes to how far his career has fallen off the map. I mean, it was not that long ago he was the starting point guard for a 57-win team in Denver and was outstanding, and from that point on, it's been downhill. Now, first and foremost, he's had four DUIs. And, you know, listen, there are two issues here with Ty Lawson. There is that issue, which the organization is the one that has to worry about it because they're the ones that signed him, although it's a non-guaranteed contract from what I understand, and it's not a contract that gives the Kings a lot of risk. So that's a positive. But you cannot ignore the fact that he's had four DUIs. That's number one. And number two, you cannot ignore the fact that here we are approaching September 1st tomorrow, and he was still available. So there are two issues here, Doug. Let's first of all talk about the basketball issue, and then we'll move to the other one.
Right.
Basketball issue is it's a low-risk deal for the Sacramento Kings. They're trying to win as many games as they can now without leveraging and mortgaging the future. So I like that. From a basketball perspective, do we really know what the Kings are getting in Ty Lawson? Because it's been a while since he's played at that level.
I totally agree with you. What are you going to get? Are you going to get the Ty Lawson that was in Denver and he played extremely well, playing downhill, aggressive all night long? I mean, he was borderline an all-star for a second there. Or are you going to get the Ty Lawson that was at Houston? Obviously not enough balls. He was a little bit
right.
Lost. I don't really know, Grant. I don't know where the Kings able to work him out, really get a good look in him, and decided that this is somebody that we can go with. Is it a proper fit? Are they going to play that up-tempo style of basketball? Because in my opinion, you have to play that style of basketball for him to be successful. I've never really seen him play a slow-down style and be successful at it. So a lot of unanswered questions, to be honest
with you. The good news is we got the Kings coach coming on in exactly 60 minutes at 4:05 with Dave Yeager. We'll be able to ask him some of these questions. All right, then there's the other part of this, and you cannot ignore this because it jumps right out at you. Four DUIs, which would intimate to me that he either had or has a drinking problem. And the good news, from what I understand, is there were no issues that surfaced last year when he played with Houston and then at the end of the year with Indiana, or at least none of the issues that became public that we've known about. So you got to be really careful when you talk about, you know, does someone have a drinking problem or not? All I can say is, you know, four DUIs is not defensible. All right, it's just not. That is a huge red flag. So, again, I go back, there are two issues here. There's that issue, there's the personal issue, and the four DUIs, which you cannot ignore, and then there's the basketball issue. And so I want to find out from Kings fans today how they feel about Ty Lawson on a low-risk deal from the Kings' perspective, a non-guaranteed deal. And, again, here's what I look at, Doug. If, and again, big I, big F, if Ty Lawson can even be close to what he was when he was the starting point guard for Denver, that helps out this Kings team immensely.
I totally agree with that because he understands how to play the game. He's a tough player. He's not going to back down. I think that he, if you get that Ty Lawson, he fits in. What you said, Grant, I think is big time. The fact that the Kings have a mitigated little tiny bit of risk involved in this, the upside for them is just tremendous. Now, if they guaranteed him $6 million or $4 million or something like that, I think that that is a bad deal. But the way that it stands right now, we'll see. And a lot of times, Grant, you know this better than anybody, guys who are in this position, because this is a do-or-die time for him, they usually step up and they give you their absolute
best. They have to.
They're
playing for their lives.
No doubt about it.
They're playing for their whole career.
Yes.
His whole career. Here, in a nutshell, if it fails here in Sacramento, he'll have to go play in China or something. Seriously, he will have to go play overseas. The NBA will say goodbye to Ty Lawson. He will not have another opportunity.
Especially if it's for the off-court stuff. If
Correct.
It's for the on-court stuff, he may get another.
Right.
But that is really little. But I could see him coming in excellent shape, extremely focused, because when your back gets to the wall, sometimes and a lot of times, you figure it out and you go for it.
All right, you made a very good point about Ty Lawson and the style he plays. It's, to me, very similar to what Darren Collison does. We're talking about two fast, quick guys. And when I had Dave Yeager on after he was hired, maybe a week or two after he was hired, we talked about the perception, or call it reality, that, you know, he's a half-court coach and he's a defensive-minded coach, which he is. Mm-hmm. But he said, you know what? We are not going to lose what my bread and butter is, which is my philosophy of defense. He said, but I really want to go more up-tempo than what we saw in Memphis. Now, based on the personnel that we're talking about, you kind of look at, okay, well, that sounds good with Ty Lawson and Darren Collison. But then we saw DeMarcus Cousins lagging a lot last year on a lot of plays where he shot a lot of threes, and, you know, again, because he was the trailer. And then you have to get back on D. So it's going to be a very interesting training camp to see exactly what type of style are we going to see from Dave Yeager.
Man, you're still in my thunder, Grant, because that's my question. I want to know. Defensively, we know you were in the grindhouse. You grinded out night in and night out. But offensively, what are you going to do? Are we passing and moving? Are we passing and cutting? How do you play off of DeMarcus Cousins? Because that is your bread and butter. How do you do that? Well, with the signing now of Ty Lawson, and you talk about Darren Collins, both of those guys, they play extremely fast. You got wing players that need to get out and run. Matt Barnes, he's not really a half-court guy. He D's up, but he does really well when he gets out in the open court. So you're getting personnel that say open court. If you can D up and get into the open court, I think the Kings have something.
All right, Grant Napier in with Doug Christie. Of course, it's been 24 hours since Teddy Bridgewater dislocated his knee, tore his ACL. He is out for the year. Mm-hmm. Other NFL news, Colin Kaepernick will start for the 49ers. Let's talk about that for a moment because, you know, to me, I really believe that if Colin Kaepernick does not play well tomorrow down in San Diego, he will not be on the team. Now, I know Chip Kelly said otherwise, kind of intimated at his press conference on Tuesday, but I've got to believe that if Colin Kaepernick does not play well tomorrow, and it won't be for not standing for the anthem. I mean, this will be for football reasons. I could see him not being on the team. So, to me, you know, the fourth preseason game is the worst of all. They're boring. You know, guys don't want to get hurt. You go through the motions. But this is a really big fourth game for Colin Kaepernick.
I totally agree with you. This is a game that if he doesn't show up, and I think a little bit of it is off the field too. We can't act like it's not. If he doesn't show up and all this crap that's going on off the field, I think that just sends him towards the door. My question to you, Grant, is could he play himself into a starting lineup? Could he do that? Because we've known that he's been that quarterback before. He has the talent. He just hasn't done it, and now this crazy storm.
I think the fact that Blaine Gabbert is not playing tomorrow tells everyone that Blaine Gabbert's the starting quarterback on September 12th on that Monday night game against the Rams. But I also believe that Chip Kelly's going to have a short leash on his quarterbacks because, let's face it, all right, there's a saying in the NFL that if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any quarterbacks. and they don't have a clear-cut number one,
yes.
All right? So if you don't have a clear-cut number one, then that number one, whoever it is, has a short leash.
Okay.
Because the separation between your number one and your number two, in this case, is a whisker. It's not really, you know, that great. You know, we're not talking about Aaron Rodgers and then his backup. We're not talking about you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
we're
that's
talking
different.
We're talking about Blaine Gabbert and Colin Kaepernick. There are a lot of 49er fans that still think that Kaepernick's the better of the two. I haven't seen anything as of late that would make me go out and say, yes, that's true. But I still think that there's a better than 50-50 chance that Kaepernick will not be on the team this weekend.
Wow. That just it blows my mind, because we're talking, you know, 36 months ago, he was riding high on the top of the world. So, but when they signed Kelly as the head coach, I'm thinking – Cap is totally riding high again, because he fits in. He's mobile. He can run. He can throw. He's tough. And then all of a sudden, things have just absolutely fallen apart. Now, do you think some of that is from the standpoint that he was injured last year and he just hasn't got his feet under him?
No question. He missed all the offseason workouts. He missed all the reps that Gabbert was getting because he was not able to play because of, you said a good point, the injury. So when he was able to step onto the field, he was way behind the eight ball in terms of understanding and running the offense like Blaine Gabbert. And that's another reason why I think Blaine Gabbert is going to start on September 12th. Now, here's the other point that you got to be very careful about in the fourth preseason game. The starters play only a handful of snaps.
Yes.
So whenever a quarterback excels, particularly in the final preseason game, you got to really gauge. You're going against teams that are not game planning. You're going against teams that are playing very vanilla defenses, and you're going against really the twos and threes. So, you know, let's not get carried away if Colin Kaepernick plays well tomorrow. Here's the other sidebar of this game. It's Military Appreciation Night down in San Diego. Oh, now, they're not going to have a full house, but the people that are there are going to be, for the most part, have a military background. I'm real curious to see what the reaction is going to be when Colin Kaepernick runs out onto the field for the first time.
You got to know it's going to be booing.
I would think so.
Oh, no, there's no thinking about it, Grant. He will absolutely get booed. The irony is, the things that everyone fights for when you talk about the military is the exact thing that he's doing. But the way that he's doing it, I definitely think that that will be the reaction.
Grant Napier and Doug Christie with you. If you want to call the show, you can at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. It's 3:15 time for the 2016 floor model clearance sale, jacuzziofsacramento.com. Coming up, we will have the coach of the Kings, Dave Yeager. He'll be on at 4:05. Then coming up at shortly right after the top of the 5 o'clock hour, Chris Landry, NFL super count from scout from LandryFootball.com. Matt Barrows, our 49er insider for the Sacramento Bee, he'll be on at 6:18. We'll talk to him about what's going on with the 49ers. We'll also get his update on Eric Armstead, who says he will be good to go on the 12th, but now intimating that the shoulder may need surgery. That is not something I want to hear when you're getting ready to play 16 games. So we'll talk all about that. If you want to text the show, you can at 441140. I want to hear from you in this first hour, Kings fans. I want to hear from you where you're at with Ty Lawson. Okay, are you on board? Are you skeptical? Again, just on my social media account, it's 50-50. I'm hearing a lot of people saying they don't like it. The other half are saying, you know what, it's a no-risk deal for the Kings. It's 1 year. He can help the team. Again, I think it sends a message out that Sacramento is trying to win this year as many games as they can without mortgaging the future. Because I think what Vlade Divac is doing, and he's not conceding anything. He's not conceding anything, and Dave Yeager's not conceding anything. But I think right now, what Vlade has done with this past draft and some of the signings is Vlade is really setting this franchise up to have a solid foundation in the very near future. Again, I'm not saying he's conceding games this year, but now you need a point guard to go along with Darren Collison. Mm-hmm. He's probably as good as any guy that's available right now.
I'm looking at that, Grant, and I'm saying if I'm gambling, and I don't really gamble, right. But if I'm gambling.
You're sitting in here with me. That's a gamble.
Okay, that is a gamble. I agree with that. I'm putting my money on the fact that Ty Lawson comes in here and has maybe not a career year, but he absolutely plays. Because
similar to what Rondo did last year on the heels of a terrible year?
Exactly. And the reason is, you got to think, the salary cap's coming up. This is a chance for you to solidify yourself and say, you know what, I made some mistakes. Here I am. I worked my butt off. I want to be on this team. I want to be great. Here you go.
Yep.
And I don't see him doing anything else. If he does something else, he's an idiot.
Well, you're right. But if you have four DUIs, you could already make that label as an idiot. And I'm saying this because, you know, you use the word idiot, and I use it all the time on my show. First of all, anyone that knows me knows that I call myself an idiot more than anybody else on the planet.
So me too.
That's full disclosure, okay? But, I mean, I think we in society – and I'll speak for myself first, and then we'll open it up for phone calls and what you want to talk about. I believe in second chances, and I'm not going to throw someone in jail and throw the key away for the first DUI unless there's an innocent life lost, and then that's a whole different story.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes, it is.
In this case with Ty Lawson, fortunately, that did not occur. However, you know, two DUIs to me is hard to explain. Three is unfathomable to me, and four DUIs is kind of like, okay, there's a problem here. You know, you just can't ignore that. And so we cannot talk about Ty Lawson without talking about that. I don't think that that's, you know, I don't think you can separate the two in terms of, you know, Ty Lawson is what he is, and he does have a past. Uh-huh. He does have some issues. It is low risk for the Sacramento Kings, but I think that's why a lot of the fans that I've talked to and that I've seen on social media are on, you know, both sides of the fence here.
I think it is absolutely imperative that Vlade and Coach Yeager have a system, something in place to help him help himself if this problem is as prevalent as it looks to be. Because four, you are absolutely right. That is just, it's out of control. Now, if they have that system in place, we're talking about off court. That gets handled.
Right.
Now, on court, that's where he has to step up and he has to handle his business. And I see him doing that. Now, the Kings just have to have some type of system in place. I said this earlier when I was with the Lakers. Anthony Peeler, he had a little issue before. So what they did is they took the alcohol off the plane. There was no alcohol on the plane.
And there's been, not been on the Kings charter for years.
And those are the things that I'm talking about, Grant.
Right.
You help him to help himself to, and figure out what's the problem and how do we fix it. And you handle the problem on the court.
People might say, well, why would there be alcohol on the planes? Let me just explain something. In Major League Baseball, there's alcohol on all the charter flights, with the exception of when they're coming home after a trip because they don't want the guys, you know, getting in their cars and driving home. And you would say, well, gee, the Kings used to have the charters used to have alcohol on the flight. Yes. But that really changed when so many underage players came into the league.
Yes.
Okay.
Has to.
All right, so you had 19, 20-year-olds who weren't even allowed to drink, and so, you know what, to even just, like, cover yourself, take all the alcohol off the plane.
Brilliant, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yes, because you got to think, Grant, you know, we're coming from Boston.
Absolutely.
And, you know,
no question.
Somebody brings a great bottle of wine on the plane.
That's right.
There's some brews, and before you know it, you hit the ground, and you don't think anything's wrong, and you jump in your car.
Sure.
And DUI.
That's right. And or an accident that takes an innocent person's life. So I'm right with you. All right, hey, we got some phone calls. So why don't we get to it here in the first segment at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Chris, go right ahead.
Hey, Grant and Doug, how you doing today?
What's happening?
Fantastic.
So question, roster spots. How are the Kings looking? Should we be looking for possibly another point guard with Carlson having possible court issues and Lawson possibly being, you know, having issues at any point in time with his past.
Perhaps. But you also have to realize that Garrett Temple, who they acquired from Washington, is more than capable of playing the point guard as well. So perhaps, yes. They also have a draft pick that they took in the late second round at number 59 in Isaiah Cousins. Now, I'm not saying that Isaiah Cousins is going to make the team, but he is a point guard.
Okay. And just a thought, in his one decent season that he actually got minutes down in L.A., Kendall Marshall was almost a double-double kind of guy. If he could get minutes, what do you think of maybe that? I heard Philly might be releasing him soon. I read that on Yahoo.
I'm not really sure about Kendall Marshall from the standpoint that he's going to – the only reason, really, that he hasn't stuck in the NBA is he can't throw it in the ocean.
Yeah, and he was released, by the way.
Yeah, but talk about a guy with a body he can handle, he can pass, he can run a team, yes. But you're going to have to work with him on that shot because that is going to be big time.
The last thing I want is another guard that can't shoot. The game is different now, all right? And that's why I'm sour on Ricky Rubio, because Ricky Rubio has not proven at any point during his career that he can shoot. And I just think if you're a point guard and you can't shoot, it's very, very difficult to play in the league right now.
To our caller's point, Grant, I think, and this is something that you and I talked about, you talked about Garrett Temple. I really like Isaiah Cousins. I think that the Kings don't necessarily need another point guard. They need somebody who can step over from time to time and handle that position. And it might be have to be by committee.
Even somebody, if it's 10 minutes a game, right?
That's exactly. Kind of like myself. We talked about
that's
that.
That's right.
All of a sudden, hey, Mike, you're off the ball. I got it. You go ahead. Bobby, you run the lane. I got the ball. And now you can get the same thing, but just in a different way.
The one thing I would say, I can't include Isaiah Cousins in this discussion yet, not based on what I saw on Summer League. Now, in all fairness, he was hurt and only played the final two games. And again, all I'm saying is, you know, I'm a big believer in what I know.
Yeah.
I don't know what the deal is with Cousins. Like,
come
my point
on,
is,
and Grant, you're tough on him, man. I like Isaiah Cousins, man. Come on, Grant. I mean,
he was taken 59 in a weak draft.
Okay, see? Then you always throw out facts.
That doesn't mean he can't play, but why did he go all the way at the bottom of the second round in a weak draft?
Because there was a whole bunch of idiots selecting ahead of him.
Hey, Isaiah Thomas went 60th.
That's right.
Now, the draft was stronger,
IT.
You know, and the last time I looked, he's pretty damn good.
Hey, and he's in another Isaiah. Go figure. I'm telling you. I like the kid. I do. I saw him at Oklahoma. I like his size. I like his grit. Can he play point guard in the NBA? It's yet to be seen. But if you give him the right tutelage, I like him.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right. And again, I'm not saying you're not right. All I'm saying is I can't pencil him in as one of the point guards until I see him play against NBA competition in preseason. That's
true.
All I'm saying.
Yeah. Grant with the facts.
Again. There you go. All right, let's get to Lydia. Lydia, what's going on?
Hi, Grant. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. Thank you.
I'm all up with Ty Lawson. I don't have a problem with that at all.
Okay, so you're good to go with him, right?
Absolutely.
All right, fair enough. Thank you very much. Let's get to Matt in Sacramento. Hi, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
Just wanted to get to a couple points why I like Ty Lawson a lot. Doug kind of touched on it. He's kind of not desperate, but this is one of his last, you know, chances he'll probably get.
Oh, he's desperate. Make no mistake about it. He's desperate.
But also you kind of have to trust in Vlade's, you know, judge of character too. I mean, I would imagine that he talked to him and he saw something in him, or, you know, Ty told him something that made him believe that he can come here and give something to the team.
And, well, here, let me stop you real quick, and then I'll let what you also have to understand is, like, Dave Yeager, the coach, you know, he knows all the assistant coaches around the league. He didn't just say, hey, we got to sign Ty Lawson without doing his background. So he's talked to assistant coaches in Houston. He's talked to the coaches that were in Indiana. He's talked to Frank Vogel, who coached the Pacers last year. He's done his homework. And generally speaking, Doug, you know how this works. I mean, the NBA is a fraternity.
Yep.
And when you want information, all you got to do is pick up the phone and call someone.
Yeah, that's why it is so imperative. It's like kids with social media. You got to be careful what you put out there because the people are going to say something about it. So all of a sudden, you got a sewing circle and everyone's talking. And I am absolutely sure, to the caller's point, that Vlade has done his homework.
Yes.
Coach Yeager did his homework, and they said, look, this is a guy who's ready, and he's going to do the right thing.
Matt, what else do you want to talk about?
Yeah, absolutely. You guys took the words right out of my mouth. Also, I think that Ty himself, he realizes that he has a chance to compete not only for playing time, but, I mean, if he does really play well, he could easily become the starter on his team. Darren Collison is a nice player, but, you know, if Ty comes in here and plays like how we've seen him play in the past, there's no question he'll be the starter. So I think that's in his mind too. So he has all the incentive to play well. And, yeah, I like the move. I like it.
All right. Good stuff right there. Doug Christie sitting in studio with me today. We welcome your phone calls at 339-1140. That's 800-920-1140. Don't forget the head coach of the Kings, Dave Yeager. He is coming on with us at 4:05. Looking forward to talking with him right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. Back with you here on the Grant Napier Show. Doug Christie joining us here on this Wednesday afternoon. If you want to call the show, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. And, you know, back to Ty Lawson real quickly. The point is, if there are no off-the-court incidents that raise any more red flags, then that would tell me also that he'll be able to focus on basketball 100% instead of dealing with some demons that he either is or is not dealing with. And again, I don't know if he is or not. I don't know. I don't know Ty Lawson. I've never talked to Ty Lawson. I can only go by what I've heard and what I know in terms of, you know, the incidents with the DUIs. But if that part of his life is cleared up and clean or manageable and he's dealing with it, that should help him immensely. You know, you've been in many locker rooms. You've dealt with a lot of personalities. I would think when you're able to concentrate on playing basketball, that's only going to make you better.
Yeah, it is. And sometimes, Grant, your back needs to get against the wall. And some people, it takes a while, man. You mess up. And when you look at our Kings team, we had a lot of guys who had issues and different stuff in other places, and we came here and it started clicking. So for him, you got to think, if he didn't have those issues, Grant, if Timothy Mozgov got $74 million, he would have probably been one of those guys who signed with someone to a really substantial contract. So the Kings getting him for what it is and where it's at, I think that it's a big upside for the Kings. And if he flakes out, then he just loses out on a boatload of money.
All right, if you want to call the show, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Again, we're talking NFL football, and we'll do that with Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com at 503. We're also going to talk with a former NFL head doctor and author of Monday Morning MD on the National Football Post. That's Dr. David Chow. And then at 6:18, Matt Barrows from the Sacramento Bee. Now, I can only go by what was reported, that the scene on the Vikings practice field was very scary. There were reports of some players throwing up. And there's also been some reports that the medical staff and the head trainer of Minnesota did a phenomenal job. And there were some reports that they feel that the job that they did may benefit Teddy Bridgewater long term. And again, that's another reason why I'm going to have Dr. David Chow on, and our producer Jay Johnson has gotten him, and I'm looking forward to talking with him. What's the worst injury you've seen when you've been playing on a basketball court? Because I had Brian Baldinger on from the NFL Network, former NFL player, and he said in all of his years of being involved with the NFL, it's the first time he's ever heard of a coach canceling a practice after an injury.
Well, I think part of the canceling of the practice is it's preseason. That was absolutely freaky. Guys' minds aren't right. But I would have to say the craziest one was Sean Livingston. And Sean Livingston is just pretty much like this. His knee looked like it was non-contact after a dunk, came down, got ready to set and run, and dislocation and ripped everything up. So if he dislocated then and tore his ACL, to your point with their staff that's doing just an absolute incredible job, there are nerves and a lot of different things in there, Grant, that have to get taken care of quickly with blood loss and different things. Mr. Chow, I'm sure, is going to touch on all that because Doug Christie, the MD doctor, doesn't know all those things.
That's
Grant.
Right. Well, when he comes on, you better call him Dr. Chow, not Mr. Chow, okay? All right? Just make sure we don't forget doctor, okay? All right, let's get to Doug in Roseville. You're on with Grant Napier and Doug Christie.
Grant.
What's up? What's up, Doug?
Hey, I just got a couple comments about the Ty Lawson thing real quick. You know, obviously we all have friends or family members that have gotten a DUI sometime maybe in their life. For someone to go out and get four DUIs, to me, I think the biggest question that I would have, and maybe you could ask Coach this, one, does he still have a driver's license? I mean,
My understanding is he does not drive.
He does not drive.
That's okay. My understanding.
That would come to my second question with the Kings organization. I know when my buddy played for the in the NFL with the New York Giants for a long time, the Giants had a agreement with not only the players but the people that worked for the organization that if they were out drinking, they had a number to call and a taxi service or whatever, a car service would take that employee home or a player home, no questions asked.
Yeah, all NFL teams have that policy now.
Yep, and I know some players still obviously don't use it. You know, when you're out drinking, that you don't make that decision. But first, does the Kings have anything like that built in with the Sacramento Kings?
Yes, they do.
Okay, and then with a guy with four DUIs, is it possible that maybe in his contract that they hire him a full-time driver to keep him safe and everybody else safe?
They could, and I don't know how you feel about this, but this is not a babysitting service. This is the National Basketball Association, and he's 29 years old. And so, that would be his responsibility as part of what he's dealing with. But again, I don't know what he's dealing with because I don't know what his life has been like since his fourth DUI. I mean, I don't know. All I know is what I read. All I know are the people that I've talked to. And I think the positive here, because I'm looking at positives, is the fact that last year he played in the NBA with Houston and Indiana, and there were no reports of Ty Lawson in a negative way.
You know, Grant, this is something that I want to say when I was younger in Seattle, Dale Ellis ran into this similar thing, and I remember them saying that he didn't have a license and he had a limo service that took him everywhere. So if that is something, but to your point, these are grown men. You have to handle your business. Part of us depending on you on the court, in the trenches, all day, all night, is the fact that you can handle yourself when you walk out of here. Because if you can't handle yourself when you walk out of here, how am I supposed to turn my back and know that you got my help? That's a tough one.
Yeah, it's called trust. It's called it's all about, and I think a lot of fans don't understand this, and I've tried to explain to them, even though I've never played professional sports, but I've been in a lot of locker rooms and I've been very close to a lot of teams, is that I think fans underestimate that aspect of the locker room. And I'm a firm believer, if the locker room's not right, it's really difficult to win.
It absolutely is. You have to have a healthy locker room. And fans, when we talk about a healthy locker room, we're talking about the ability to criticize each other, to absolutely go up in somebody and say, yo, you didn't handle that. And then them to actually come back at you and then compete on the floor. One area that is big for locker room health is the competition on the floor. Is everyone given their job, or are we out there competing for it day in and day out? And the ability to be able to compete, to talk to each other, to go at each other, all of those things, it just helps the product on the floor. Because I can remember first team, and you watch many of our practices, Grant, if we weren't prepared, Hito and Bobby and Scott, and all, they would hand it to us.
Oh, yes.
And they would tell us about it the whole time. So it helped us and primed us, and that is part of a healthy locker room. Because now when we go in and Bobby busted me up and he's telling me about it, and now tomorrow I'm going at his head. So that is part of the whole deal. And, yes, the locker room and it being a healthy place is big time, Grant.
And then let's talk also about the addition of Ty Lawson. Again, it has not been that long since he was at a very high level. You know, the competition aspect of playing, you know, now with Darren Collison. You know, Darren was, and he still may very well be, you know, the no-brainer starting point guard. But at least now you have a guy. Like, if I'm Darren Collison, you know, I'm thinking, okay, you know, last year they brought Rondo in, and then I started coming off the bench again. Now here we are a month to go to the season, and now Ty Lawson's been signed. All right, game on.
No doubt. You are absolutely focused and locked in, and that's probably going to help him with some of the things that might be going on his head about the off-court stuff that he has.
Sure.
Is you got to put that area, that 94 feet, it's therapeutic, man. That's where you go and you grind and you get it on. So that's why I said this aspect of the competition, especially at that point guard position, it's going to bring out the best in both of those guys.
All right, Grant Napier joined in studio by Doug Christie. If you want to call the show, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Again, we're talking NBA basketball this first hour. We'll move to the NFL later in the show. We've got a couple of real good guests, Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com, Dr. David Chow, former NFL head doctor, and Matt Barros from the Sacramento Bee, our 49er insider. But I want to get the Sacramento Kings going here in the first part of the show, because we are going to have Dave Yeager coming on at 4 o'clock or 4:05, and we'll ask him some of these questions. We'll ask him about, you know, these issues that Doug and I and you have been discussing here. And you can still call us at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. It is 3:42, time for the 2016 floor model clearance sale jacuzzi of Sacramento.com. We'll take a short break, and we'll be right back here on Sports 1140 KHTK. Grant Napier and Doug Christie, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Head coach Dave Yeager will be on with us in about 15 minutes in the next segment. We got phone calls to get to. Again, Grant Napier and Doug Christie here for the full 4 hours. Let's check in with Frank in Cameron Park. Hello, Frank.
Hi, Grant. How you doing?
Good, Frank.
Hey, do you know, do the Kings have a team option with Lawson?
There's no option. It's a straight one-year, non-guaranteed deal.
Don't you think they would have been wise to get a team option in case he does pan out, and they got him for a little while rather than do the same thing as with Rondo?
Yeah, the thing with Rondo, they didn't really want to keep Rondo, and so I don't think it would have mattered if they had a team option or not. The Kings would have, you know, not picked up his option. I mean, you know, I haven't even really thought about that. I don't know if Todd, what do you think about that?
I really think that you might have to give him a little something. You know, it's an incentive. Yeah, you might lose him, but at the same time, now he's like, yeah, because it's going to be fair market value. So if you have the option, maybe you can, you know, push it on him. Whereas now all of a sudden he's like, yeah, I can make it happen. And it just gives him some incentives at the same time.
Yeah, I don't know what the cost is for Ty Lawson, but I know it's not a lot. And if I'm Ty Lawson, my mindset would be, you know what, I'm going to have a really good year, similar to what Rondo had, and then I'm going to get a 2-year, $28 million deal. Similar to what Rondo did. In all fairness, Frank, if I'm Ty Lawson, I probably don't want the Kings to have an option on my deal in the second year.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure he wouldn't. But what are they paying? I mean, if he screws up, can they just drop him and they owe him no more money?
Correct. Well, they would owe him some money. I don't know what the amount would be.
It would be guaranteed if he messed up. But to Grant's point is they don't have much skin in the game right now, so it's not going to really hurt the Kings too much.
Again, I don't think we're talking about a lot of money because, again, first of all, I'm not privy to the contract, and neither is Doug. A non-guaranteed deal basically tells me that there aren't a lot of risks involved from the Sacramento Kings' perspective. So this is not breaking the bank. This is not something that's leveraging the Kings. This is for this year. Listen, they're trying to win as many games as they can, obviously, without mortgaging the future. I think that's what this move's all about.
Has he sworn off alcohol?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I mean, he can't manage it. He's already proved that, so.
Yeah, again, he's the only one that can answer that. I'm not going to even try to answer that. It's not our place to try to, you know, figure out what his life is like off the court. Only Ty can answer that question. And the one thing I do know, when he comes to talk to the Sacramento media for the first time, he'll have to answer those questions because those are questions that are going to be asked.
How's the stadium or the arena going? Is it about ready?
Awesome. Yep, it's almost ready.
All right. Thanks, Grant.
All right, thank you. And again, Ty will have to face those questions. That's part of being that's part of being in the big leagues, man.
Yes, you know? I mean, those are going to be the tough questions that he's going to have to ask. And to be honest with you, Grant, his answers mean absolutely nothing.
No, actions speak louder than words.
It is all action because you said four times. So it really doesn't matter what you say at this particular time. It's about what you do the court and on the court.
All right, let's get to Chris. You're on Sports 1140 KHTK.
Yeah, hey, guys, I was just curious about Lawson. If he does well this year, you know, and I was curious of Doug's opinion on this, if he would give the Kings a little more of a nod because they took another chance on him and gave him the opportunity if they did want to sign him.
Yes, I totally think so. I think that's part of this deal is the fact that, hey, we're giving you a chance. It's not guaranteed. Come and prove yourself. And if you prove yourself, we'll take care of you. So I bet you it's a little – both sides are giving a little bit, and it's probably kind of a handshake thing of, you know, you go out there and handle your business, and we'll handle the business on our end when it's done.
All right, a little wink and a nod type of thing, man. All right.
I don't know. I'm not so sure about that. We don't know. No, I'm saying that because
we don't know.
No, we don't know. And Doug may be right. There may not be. Here's what I do know. All right, Ty Lawson, right now, is a guy without any leverage. Okay, he just got a non-guaranteed deal. And it's all on him. It's 100% on him. He will dictate his future, similarly the way Rajon Rondo did last year. Now, Rondo signed a lot more than for what Lawson is. Rondo got $9.5 million, but he still had to prove himself. Had Rondo bombed out here last year, he wouldn't be playing for the Chicago Bulls at $28 million over 2 years.
Yes, and Rondo was in a different position than we're seeing Ty Lawson in right now. But it is really a similar and almost identical situation. So he has the ability to go out there and do it. And this isn't going to be a talk thing, Grant. You can say whatever you want. You're going to have to go out there and put it up, put up or shut up.
Well, and Dave Yeager is going to coach this team that way with everyone. And I think you made a good point. It's when you have a record like this, talk is insignificant. It's actions speak louder than words. But again, I go back to last year. You know, he played in the NBA the whole year last season, and there were no issues that we're aware of.
No, I hadn't heard anything.
Nothing.
And to the point, he didn't get his way. He didn't get out there. He didn't get to play all the
minutes. It was a bad fit in Houston, wasn't it?
It was, but if he had he has a problem. So I'm gonna kind of watch my words here. If he had just this huge problem, that would be the prime situation for something to jump off because things aren't going the way that you want them to go.
All right. If you want to chime in on the show, the numbers are 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Again, Dave Yeager, the coach of the Kings, is going to be on with us in 15 minutes. We'll ask him about why Ty Lawson, what he is expecting from Ty Lawson, and we'll move forward. I mean, the one thing we know about Dave Yeager, he coached, 28 different players last year? I mean, and you look at the group of players that he had. Let me tell you something.
Say that again.
He's only 42, but he's seen it all pretty much based on what he did last year. 28 guys.
28.
I believe it was 28. Yeah.
You don't even bring that many into training camp.
There were, I think he coached 6 different point guards last year.
Goodness gracious, man. To some of the fans, you might think, oh, 28. And when you're in there, 28, yep. 6 different point guards.
Or something like that. It was an enormous amount.
Name 6 point guards, you know?
Yeah.
That is crazy. So we know that he knows how to manage.
Right. And that's another reason why Matt Barnes is on the Kings, because, Dave Yeager loved Matt Barnes. And, for my buddies that cover the games in Memphis, and Eric Hasseltine, the radio voice, said Matt actually was the glue in that locker room through all of that. He said he was a consummate team guy. Dave Yeager loved him, and that's another guy we really haven't talked a lot about. He's 36. He keeps himself in phenomenal condition. Mm-hmm. How much basketball does he have left? What does he bring to a team like Sacramento?
I absolutely love Matt because he brings an edginess. He brings a competition level that you're going to have to meet, or there's going to be a problem, and that problem is going to be he's going to dominate you because he's physical. He gets after it. To your point, Matt, Grant, he keeps himself in prime condition. So I like the pickup. I like the mindset that he brings, and first and foremost, Coach Yeager likes him.
Well, he's a guy that you want on your team, and you hate when he's on the other team.
Yes, I've been described that way. there's a bunch of guys that you love them when they're playing for you, but when you're on the opposite team, all of a sudden you're hollering and screaming at him, and you know that he's going to bring it every single night. That's what I like.
All right, we are with you right up till 7 o'clock. Again, Dave Yeager will be coming on with us in just a little bit, as a lot of the Kings players are here. A lot of the players have shown up and are at the gym every day. And so that's awesome. All right. These guys are here a month early and they're getting their work in. And I'm really curious to see, Papayannis and what type of shape he's in, because he was not ready to go in summer league in terms of condition.
I think it was shocking to him. What I saw is the things that he usually probably leaned on, the moves and different things, guys were still there. He wasn't able to get open. And what has to happen for a guy like him, Grant, the game has to slow down. So he needs to get the reps in against guys like Willie Cauley-Stein, against DeMarcus Cousins, that he finds a way to make his game work. Kind of the same way, Grant, that Vlade did. He wasn't the fastest guy. He didn't jump the highest, but he let his skill set dictate his success on the court.
All right, we are through hour number one. I want to remind everybody that our guest list coming up today. In the next segment, we'll have Dave Yeager at 5:03. Chris Landry, we'll talk NFL football. We've got Dr. David Chow, former NFL head doctor and author of Monday Morning MD on the National Football Post. Coming up at 6:18, we'll talk about the 49ers with Matt Barrows of the Sacramento Bee. But when we return, we will be joined by the head coach of the Sacramento Kings. That's Dave Yeager, and it's coming your way next here on Sports 1140 KHTK.